Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got a really fascinating stack of material from you today, all centered around children's mental health awareness, especially thinking about the focus in May.
Mm-hmm.
We've got stuff here from the National Child Traumatic Stress Network, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and the Kids Mental Health Foundation.
Yeah, it's a great mix, a really critical topic, and, well, timely. These sources give us a few different angles to look at it.
Absolutely. So our mission for this deep dive, really, is to unpack these sources, the articles, reports, all of it. We want to get a clear picture of what this children's mental health awareness thing is really about.
You know, yeah.
Why is it getting so much attention now? And I think most importantly, what are some concrete things adults can actually do?
Yes, the practical steps. Because one source really highlights this gap, doesn't it, between wanting to help and actually knowing how.
Exactly.
And these sources cover quite a range, understanding trauma, the clinical side of things, but also, crucially, proactive wellness, how to build health.
It feels pretty comprehensive.
I think so.
Okay, let's dive in then. First things first, let's just set the stage. What is children's mental health awareness, and why May?
Well, the broader idea, Mental Health Awareness Month, that actually goes way back to 1949. So May's been the month for a long time.
Okay. But the sources mentioned a specific day for children's mental health was added later.
That's right. Yeah. In 2006. To really carve out a specific focus within that existing awareness month.
And the goals for that specific focus, what are they aiming for?
They're pretty clear. It's about first, just acknowledging how incredibly important mental health is for kids and teens,
mm-hmm.
emphasizing that, you know, good mental health isn't just something you worry about later. It's essential right from birth for healthy development.
Right from the start.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then promoting things like positive youth development, building resilience, supporting recovery when needed, and really trying to transform how services are delivered, making them better for young people and their families.
So it's not just about spotting problems. It's actually about building wellness actively.
Precisely. Foundational stuff.
It does feel like this whole conversation around mental health is much more public now.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to even 5-10 years ago. Why do you think that is? What are the sources saying?
They point to a few things. One source, I think, from the AACCAP notes how these discussions have definitely, you know, moved more into the open recently.
Yeah.
The COVID-19 pandemic is mentioned quite a bit as, well, a major catalyst. It really put these issues front and center for a lot of families.
And you also see more public figures talking about it, right? Celebrities, politicians, opening up about their own struggles. Does that help?
Oh, definitely. It helps normalize it, chips away at that stigma, you know?
Mm.
But, and this is important, the sources also stress that even with that progress, dealing with mental health challenges can still feel incredibly isolating for families.
Right.
And a big piece of that is, well, a lack of sort of public education. It can make it really tough for families to even figure out where to begin looking for help or what kind of help they even need.
So, okay, maybe the idea is less taboo, but the actual path to getting help might still be pretty murky for a lot of people.
That's a good way to put it. Murky. And connected to that, the sources highlight the absolutely vital role of child and adolescent psychiatrists.
Yeah.
They're essential for communities for responding to trauma. But, and this is a huge issue, there's a severe shortage of them. The workforce maps show it clearly.
Wow. A severe shortage. That just adds another massive hurdle for families trying to get that professional help when they most need it. That's critical.
It really is. And that shortage makes the other things we can do, the proactive stuff, maybe even more urgent.
Which I guess leads us neatly into a key point from the Kids Mental Health Foundation source. They're talking about a shift in focus, right?
Yeah.
With this new initiative they have coming up.
Yes, exactly. Their main message, it's launching May 2025, is kids' mental health starts with us.
Starts with us. That phrase itself,
yeah,
it really puts the ownership or maybe the opportunity squarely with the adults, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The whole point is to emphasize the crucial day-to-day role that all adults play, parents, obviously, but also caregivers, grandparents, teachers, coaches, you know, people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus is squarely on building that mental wellness, building resilience, before concerns maybe even rise to the level of needing a clinical help.
So prevention and promotion first.
Yeah.
Not instead of treatment, but alongside it, or even before it's needed.
Precisely. Treatment is vital when necessary, of course, but this is about strengthening that foundation.
And this is where that knowledge gap you mentioned comes into play. There was a survey.
Yeah, the Kids Mental Health Foundation worked with Ipsos on a survey, and the findings are, well, pretty striking.
Okay.
It found that overwhelmingly, adults agree it's important to talk about strengthening kids' mental wellness. Like, almost everyone agrees on the importance.
Okay, good. So people get that it matters.
Yeah.
Where's the gap then?
The gap is in the how. Significantly fewer adults strongly agree that they actually know the daily habits kids need, the things that boost mental wellness day to day.
How much fewer?
We're talking only about 35% of parents felt strongly they knew this, 41% of teachers, 47% of coaches.
Wow. That's a big difference. So people value it. They know it's important, but most adults don't feel equipped with the practical knowledge for the everyday stuff.
Exactly. Which tells us there's this huge need for, you know, practical, accessible guidance for the adults who are actually with kids every day.
It's not about not caring. It's about not knowing what to do.
Right. And contrast that with this. Almost everyone agreed that having access to resources is important. Like 97% of parents, 96% teachers, 98% coaches, they want the tools. They're looking for them.
That knowledge gap really seems like the core challenge this whole initiative is trying to tackle.
That's exactly it. And the good news is the sources from the Kids Mental Health Foundation offer three pretty concrete strategies to start bridging that gap for adults.
Okay, great. Let's get practical then. What are these three things adults can start focusing on?
Okay, first one, talk to kids and take them seriously. And this means more than just, you know, how is school? It means really digging in, learning about their friends, what they're into, what worries them, what makes them mad, what makes them sad. It's about actively showing them, by listening, that their thoughts and feelings matter to you.
Creating that safe space where they know they won't be dismissed or judged.
Exactly. Okay, second strategy. Normalize mental health. Think about how we teach kids about physical health. Wash your hands, eat your veggies. Tell someone if you feel sick or get hurt.
Yeah, standard stuff.
We need to do the same for mental health. Teach them it's okay, actually it's necessary, to tell an adult if they're feeling really sad or scared or anxious for a while.
How do you teach that?
Well, part of it is teaching them words for their emotions, helping them name feelings, noticing how feelings show up in their body, and starting to learn ways to cope when emotions feel really big or overwhelming.
So treating their internal world with the same importance as their physical world, like a scraped knee versus a persistent worry.
Yes. It's all just health.
Mm.
And the third one is, I think, really critical and maybe sometimes overlooked. Practice modeling healthy behaviors.
Ah, the do as I do part.
Kind of, yeah. Kids watch us constantly. If we as adults are always hiding our own tough feelings, or maybe we only express frustration or anger, well, kids learn from that. They might learn to bottle things up or maybe act out in unhealthy ways.
Mm-hmm.
So the sources really emphasize that taking care of our own mental well-being as adults, it's not selfish. It's actually essential if we want to be able to take good care of the kids in our lives.
You can't pour from an empty cup. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And you can't really teach healthy emotional regulation if you're not trying to practice it yourself.
Exactly.
Okay. Those three, talk and take seriously, normalize the conversation, and model healthy behaviors. Those feel like really solid, doable starting points, especially considering that knowledge gap.
Yeah, they're designed to be accessible, things anyone can start working on.
Now, beyond those core strategies for, like, the everyday wellness building, your sources also dive much deeper, right? Covering a whole spectrum from understanding trauma to actually finding clinical care.
Oh, absolutely. There's a huge wealth of resources there. The NCTSN materials, for example, they go deep on understanding trauma. They have these really helpful guides that explain how different age groups might react.
Like how a young child shows trauma versus a teenager.
Exactly, which is so useful for adults trying to make sense of what they're seeing. They also have resources that help differentiate between, say, normal stress reactions and actual traumatic stress, looking at the causes, the effects, the timelines.
That seems like a really crucial distinction for knowing how worried to be or what kind of support to look for.
It really is. And they also cover complex trauma, you know, the kind that's repeated or happens over a long time. And they look at how that affects specific groups.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one resource specifically talks about urban African-American children and families and how things like historical trauma and intergenerational racism play into their experiences and coping. Another looks at youth involved in the juvenile justice system.
Wow. So it really highlights how trauma isn't just one thing. It's shaped by so many other factors, culture, history, environment.
Definitely. And building on that, they have a lot on trauma-informed care. which is basically this idea that organizations and systems need to understand the huge impact trauma can have and build that understanding into how they operate.
So changing the system itself.
Yeah. They have toolkits for educators, for example, resources for residential settings for the juvenile justice system, all focused on seeing behavior through a trauma lens and responding differently, more effectively.
Retraining the systems that work with kids, that sounds vital.
It is. And interestingly, there's even a resource specifically for clinicians and caregivers on telling the difference between ADHD symptoms and symptoms of child traumatic stress.
Really? They can look similar.
Apparently, yes. Things like trouble focusing, restlessness, maybe impulsivity can show up in both. But the resource points out the underlying cause is different. One might be more neurodevelopmental, the other a direct response to overwhelming experiences. Getting that right is obviously key for the right support.
That's fascinating and underscores why proper assessment is so important.
Absolutely. And then there's also material looking at adverse childhood experiences, ACEs, and childhood trauma more broadly, giving an overview, but also, importantly, talking about where the gaps still are in our understanding of the full long-term impact. Research is ongoing.
Okay, so that covers a lot on the trauma side.
Right.
What about the AACP sources? They're facts for families. That sounds like a practical guide for parents trying to navigate things.
It really is. It's fantastic for finding help and understanding care. It covers really practical stuff like how do you advocate for your child within the mental health care system? How do you even find providers?
Yeah, where do you start?
Right. And it includes specific things to think about for children of immigrants and, crucially, how to understand and deal with mental health insurance, which, as we know, can be a massive hurdle for families.
Oh, absolutely. Just navigating insurance can be a full-time job.
Yeah.
What else is in there?
Guidance on figuring out if what you're seeing is typical kid stuff or something more concerning that normal or not question. Explanations of different types of therapy, what to do in a psychiatric emergency, where to find help quickly, and even stuff relevant now, like working with child psychiatrists using telehealth.
So it really tries to demystify the whole process of seeking and getting help.
It seems designed exactly for that. And they also have resources aimed directly at young people for learning about mental illness. Things like stories from other kids, busting myths versus facts, connecting them with youth organizations for peer support.
Empowering kids with information, too. That's good.
And finally, they point towards specific resource centers that focus on common conditions like anxiety disorders, depression, and issues around suicide. So, yeah, taken together, these sources really span the whole range, from the everyday wellness building for adults through deep dives on trauma, right up to finding specific clinical help.
And the Kids Mental Health Foundation, they're not just putting out info sheets, right? They're actively doing things, events, partnerships, to bring this awareness into the real world.
Oh, they're incredibly active, yeah. As part of this Kids Mental Health Starts With Us campaign, they're doing a big National Kids Mental Health Day celebration. It's May 17th in LA.
What happens there?
It's a public event, activity, sounds like some celebrity volunteers will be there. But importantly, they're giving out free resources, Spanish and English. And parents can actually learn how to build their own sort of mental wellness kits right there.
That hands-on piece sounds great, making it tangible.
And recognizing the need for accessibility, they've specifically launched a WhatsApp channel just for sharing resources weekly directly with Spanish-speaking parents and caregivers.
That's smart. Meeting people where they are, in the language they use.
Yeah. And they're also working on bigger picture things, like putting together a corporate collective to get companies nationwide involved.
Right.
And partnerships, like there's a t-shirt collaboration with the Columbus Crew soccer team and a company called Homage. Part of the sales goes to support kids' mental health.
Using popular culture and sports to raise funds and awareness. Nice.
Exactly. Plus, local events, like a specific Kids Mental Health Foundation night at a Crew game in May, and they're planning a 5K run for October, they've really built up significant momentum. The source mentioned something like 1,000 experts contribute to their materials.
Wow.
And they've engaged over 24 million people with that content.
That's serious reach for an awareness campaign. Yeah. And their On Our Sleeves program gets mentioned, too.
Yes, as a signature initiative. Really focused on, again, breaking down stigma, starting conversations, and providing those free resources directly to families, caregivers, teachers, coaches, targeting those key adults in kids' lives.
It really does all seem to circle back to that central theme, doesn't it? Empowering the everyday adults.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the core message coming through strongly.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. We've talked about the history, the reasons it feels urgent now, the role of professionals, this big focus on empowering adults. What's the main takeaway you see from this deep dive into your sources?
Well, I think a few key things stand out. First, just the clear importance of May as a time to really focus attention on this. Second, the fact that, yes, conversations about youth mental health are more public now, which is good. And third, the absolutely critical role of professionals like child psychiatrists, even with the very real challenge of shortages.
Yeah, and for me, the loudest message, maybe especially from the Kids Mental Health Foundation stuff, is that big shift in emphasis. Mm. It's not just about waiting for a crisis and then seeking treatment, although that's vital. It feels like a real push towards empowering all of us as adults to proactively build up kids' mental wellness and resilience before crises hit, while also, of course, knowing how to address trauma and get help when needed. It's like the whole spectrum.
Agreed. It's acknowledging the depth of the challenge, but also offering very practical ways forward, a hopeful message in a way.
So what does this all mean for you listening in? It seems really clear from these sources that while getting professional help, dealing with trauma, that's all absolutely crucial. But there's also this powerful idea gaining steam that building mental wellness for kids is something we all share responsibility for. It starts with the adults who are around them every day.
And that knowledge gap survey really hits home, doesn't it? We value kids' mental health. We know it's important, but so many of us adults feel unsure about the how, the daily habits, the conversations.
But the good news is, those three strategies we discussed, really talking and listening seriously, normalizing mental health talk, and consciously modeling healthy coping ourselves, those are concrete places to start bridging that gap.
And knowing that this huge range of resources does exist, from understanding the deep impacts of trauma to finding therapists to just getting tips on building resilience day to day, it shows that support is out there across the board, from prevention right through to crisis care.
Yeah, this deep dive really paints a picture of a field that's working hard, not just to raise awareness, but to actually destigmatize, educate, and empower adults to make a real difference. It feels action-oriented.
It does.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on, something to take away from this. Building on that knowledge gap finding, if many adults feel unsure about the how of daily mental wellness support, what's maybe just one single practical skill you can focus on developing or consciously modeling starting this month that can make a positive difference for the mental wellness of the children in your own life?